having a baby really put a lot into perspective, and it's really slowed me down a lot. But it's like the most beautiful thing. I just want to take a second and enjoy it. It's not about the destination, it's the journey. I never really got time or really had like the bandwidth to experience the journey to its fullest. So I guess that's what I'm trying to do now.
Life will do that to you. Parenthood will definitely do that to you. Put success and ambition in perspective. That's what we're here for, some perspective, where I get to come to the legendary Henson Studios, hang out with, well, one of my favorite artists of the modern age. He's made an album that I've certainly been waiting for, and I think a lot of us have. You can hear it, you can see it. The guitar's in his hand, the songs are at the forefront, the album's called Austin, and well, here we are again.
A guitar in his hand.
What up, Dad?
Good to see you, Zaniac.
I'm not gonna lie, it looks good.
Good to see you, Zaniac.
Looks good on you, man.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
How often do you pick that thing up when you're not recording?
I don't know.
Loading screens in video games. Whenever the game's loading, I'll pick it up and put it back down. I don't do much anymore, Zane.
Do you think that it caused you a little? Can I actually hold that for a sec? Do you think it caused? Well, it's funny, you know, with guitars, because I really feel like while they're sitting there, it's hard for me to not
sabotage you.
To not feel like there's songs waiting to be written. Don't you ever get that sensation sometimes, like, man, if I just pick this up, is something gonna be there waiting for me?
Maybe so. With reverb, yes. Because reverb makes, I wish I could live my life
in reverb,
which would just be the most amazing thing.
Don't you think it'd be a little cold?
No, I don't know. I feel like it'd be a little warmer. Depends on...
on the reverb.
Yeah, it depends on Valhalla or whatever. Chris Lord-Ange. But I don't know. I think if I have some reverb, or like, if I go, that's what I do. I sit on the can.
Yeah.
And there's good acoustics in the bathroom for the most part. And so it's like that natural reverb there.
You know, when we started the last conversation, I picked up on the last song of the last album, which was a voice note from January the 3rd, 2020.
Yes, sir, and you played the hell out of it.
When I heard this new album, I feel like this latest album, almost in a weird way, could have begun at that moment, because there's so much beautiful acoustic guitar on it.
Thank you, sir.
And so I went to the last song on the album, and I was like, how does that one go? And it feels like an extension, almost, of that moment. You know, Laugh It Off, don't you think, a little bit? Like the way that you sort of picked up where you left off?
Yes, sir.
Does it feel that way to you?
I'd say so. I think, I don't know, it's super... Really nice, really nice.
You wrote it, bro.
Me, Andrew, and Lou doing all the... It was so fun, I tell you, to play guitar on like every song.
Yeah.
And like really do cool chords, because like, I don't know, this song has a bunch of cool chords and it has a really
good... I'm gonna try and get to one in a second, man. This next one's not easy. This little C.
It's cool, huh? I remember. I was sitting there, I was like, dude, that's fucking cool, man.
It's a cool song.
Thank you for learning that. Thank you for playing that.
Of course.
Really pretty when you do it.
You know, I think I've been waiting. I don't want to speak for anybody else. I've been waiting for a moment like this. I love the journey you've been on to make this record. You know, the albums you've made, the hits you've had, successes you've had. But this idea of you being able to pick up a guitar and sit in a room with a couple of friends and just kind of pour your heart and soul out into an instrument like that and then build from there. I've been waiting for that. Have you been waiting to make it?
I don't know necessarily if I've been waiting to make it. It's always something that's kind of been wanted to be made, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know, a lot of the times we go in and we do... The music and the melody has never really been, well, the way that I work, the music and the melody has never been written at the same time. It's usually, there's music there and then the melody comes after. But like with that, just being able to sit there, like I said, reverb, cross-legged here over in, I think, Studio D.
Here?
At Henson, yes, sir.
Amazing.
We did just about... I don't know, 75% of it here in Watson. Wow. And just sit there cross-legged with the cans on and so much reverb. And then you're like, okay, what if we go, what is that first quarter of the hook? And then to the A, and then to the, oh wait, what is it? Is it? I don't even remember.
You want me to show you how to play your own song? I think I might have transcribed it badly, bro. But as far as
I think that's right. Like,
and then something down here.
It's a C sharp.
It's a C sharp. Well, at least I jogged your memory.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You got it.
I appreciate you.
Well, yeah, and that's...
Let me tell you the time one time. I don't think I'll do it on camera.
I appreciate you very much.
I'll tell you when one time when I tried to tell Paul McCartney how to play Blackbird.
Well, hey, sometimes you need it because you just get in a flow.
He didn't need it. Then... He said to me, Zane, I wrote it.
Well, actually, it's more like this.
You know? He just wasn't nutty.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, you get to really experiment. Like, that C, I guess now, it's a C sharp.
For now.
And I guess I never would have gone to that chord, like making or using FL, like making a production, you know what I mean? And so it's really cool. And it was a really eye-opening experience for me and how I could write music and how I could make music. And it's not just one way. It's just like you, there's so many different ways. Like you said, it's just a song is there. You just got to find it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't remember who said it, and someone said, this is, might be random, but they said there are no bad chords. You're just not brave enough to try that shit. So I thought that was pretty cool.
It's not, I won't be lost on anyone that you've gone to your real name for the album. Again, as a writer, I feel you've been revealing yourself one album at a time more and more.
Sir.
And this is easily the most revealing record that you've released.
Sir.
I wanted to just start there. Start with, because it's courageous to open up your life this much and talk about the things I think that perhaps you celebrated a lot when you were on the up. Material things, drugs, alcohol, fame, success, women, all that. It's like you've come to the end of that cycle. That's what the album feels like to me.
I guess having a baby really put a lot into perspective, and it's really slowed me down a lot. Like party wise, you know, going out and being crazy, and but it's like the most beautiful thing. And I don't know, it's like I'm trying to get some land right now. You already know, the end is nigh, so
you believe that though?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's weird,
a little bit.
It's yeah, I definitely do. So, like, yeah. I just want to get my stuff and I want to go out and do shows, but then I just want to, you know, we got out of LA and now we live in Salt Lake. So now I'm
and you're trying to get further out.
Well, I guess so. Yes, sir.
Interesting.
So, and that's kind of like me, like, I just want to take some time now and actually, you mentioned, you know, all the, you know, accoutrement of success.
Mm.
And everything that comes with that.
You listed on something real. You list them all on something real.
I just want to kind of take a second and enjoy it. I just want to take a minute and be like, you know what, it was amazing. It is amazing. But I never really got to stop and smell the roses, you know? And then you get caught up in, like, it's not about the destination, it's the journey. And yeah. I never really got time or really had, like, the bandwidth to experience the journey to its fullest. So I guess that's what I'm trying to do now.
Well, you make it sound like peace, but it's also, you know, I know you were kind of throwing it out there, but it comes from a place of, from a disastrous thought. The idea of how do I protect my family when all around me crumbles?
Sure.
Is that what's motivating it?
Not fully. I love making music. I love being at home with my family. I love a whole lot of things, and it's not just about making it to where my family's safe if something crazy does happen. It's just about, like, if it does happen, I do want them and everybody in my life and everybody to be safe and happy. But yeah, it's an interesting thing, and I was talking to somebody actually just about what you, it's like a control thing. You want to be, and maybe it's just natural human nature to be like, okay, I want to know exactly what's going on. That's why, like, shit like death and, like, aliens and all that shit scare us, because we're like, I don't know what that is, and that, like, bothers us.
The alien thing is crazy though. Don't you feel like in the last 3 years that shit is, like, ramped up?
Oh, it's so real, it's not even funny. It's like, it's crazy too. It's crazy, and it's super interesting that now, like, you look back at like Roswell and they're like, oh, we found a weather balloon and all that. Mm. Yeah, but even like the Battle of Los Angeles, like, have you seen the pictures?
I love that film.
Dude, no, like what it's based off.
No.
Like in, I don't know, maybe it was the 40s or 50s. There was this object and there's pictures of us like trying to blow it up, like big spotlights. You can see the rounds going through the air, like shooting at this thing and no one like really talks about it. Like that's what you saw the movie, but yeah. You didn't even know like that's like a thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy. No. But like even now for them to be like, oh, well, you know, we didn't really, we didn't see anything. But there was nothing there. But now even the pilots and everybody, they're like, we definitely saw some shit. There's definitely something.
Do you know? Have you seen him in Utah?
But there's a shitload of them. I've been to Skinwalker Ranch. That place is amazing.
You actually went?
Yeah.
I watched the TV show.
Dude, it's so
made my skin crawl.
Dude, it
did
is
you
so
feel
sick.
It?
Dude, it is so weird.
What did
None
you feel?
Of the technology works. It's really weird.
But what did you feel?
Over there, it was just so interesting. You could definitely feel it. They took us all around. We went to all the homesteads, all the towers, and just saw like stuff from the show. The show's amazing.
Yeah.
But if you watch the show, you can't be like, assuming it's real, which I assume it's real after meeting everybody and being there and doing all that, you can't like deny it. You're like, something is definitely happening here.
I mean, it just to deny your curiosity on what exists mm-hmm. beyond our own concept is or our ability to take in is just boring. But it just, you're such an interesting cat, because it's clear to me that you've suffered throughout your life from a pretty acute form of anxiety.
Sure.
And yet you have this desire to put yourself into these places where sure. anxiety would really thrive.
Sure.
Like the unknown, the idea of what's in that ventilation shaft.
Right. Well, yeah. And I don't know that I was saying before, it like if you people wanted to know or not, like people, I'm sure if you ask somebody two questions, if you're like, do you want to know what happens after you die?
Mm.
Or do you want to know if aliens exist? Because it'd be like, to what happens after you die, I'd be like, no, not really, because I'm that's gonna happen,
right?
But the whole alien deal is like, you don't know if the aliens are gonna come down and vaporize you,
right?
What if they're like, you're cool, what if they're your cool uncle from
I've
space?
I've never felt that there was that an alien life form would take on the form and with the intention that the movies have always told us,
right?
Well, what's the point in coming down like it's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Maybe they want
The resources?
Our gold.
Dude, you have this curiosity for things in life that a lot of people would try to avoid. You gave two or three really good examples of that. There's a ton of examples on this album as well. You have, to some degree, lived the life of excess, and you've worked excessively hard.
Yes, sir.
And given an excessive amount of great music and art to us as fans. But you've definitely, for your young years, you've put yourself through it. And you've opened up about that stuff on this
sure.
record. I've never asked you outright, but I mean, do you think that you've come to the point where you can acknowledge that alcohol is a weakness for you, that it's a problem?
Very much so. It's very frustrating.
Mm.
But now if I do drink and I'm not doing like a show or recording, and yeah, that's another, I have a very hard time expressing myself via recording if I'm not a little fucked up.
It's tough, isn't it?
It's a good spot now, because if I'm not recording or I'm not talking to people or if I'm not doing shows, I really do drink just to have fun. Like, it's like having a beer with my dad or with my bud.
This is the upteenth time we've spoken, and I always love it, and I am grateful
yes,
for
sir.
It every time.
Yes, sir. Well, it's I hope you know it's the same. Time. I hope you know it's the same.
But I would hate to think that, you know, being a part of this experience with any of us would enable that behavior if you didn't want to.
Well, not at all. It's it has nothing to do. I love talking to you. I love talking to you, and you've always been so kind to me. So I love talking to you, and I feel like every time we talk, there's always something that I can take home and become better about it, or think about something. And I don't know, it's you're an amazing man, and I appreciate you having me on.
Same way. It's funny, you know, in my conversations sometimes people are like, oh, you know, do you have to tell your stories? But I think it's important I share this one. Like, I you know, I was drinking a lot and I was in a bad place too. And in the end, it was a real combination of like going and talking to somebody and beginning the work. And I don't know if you've done therapy or you do therapy.
Mm.
But also, my wife was like the deal breaker, like mm-hmm. her unconditional support
sure.
and her belief in me
mm-hmm.
in the sense of like, come on, get together. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does. It definitely does. And it's to the point to where you're like, yeah, you know what, I'll do it. But then you get in front of people and then you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I have a hard time communicating with people. And that's like, I don't know. It's a really, especially now, whenever I was saying before, whenever I was a kid, I would run around and I'd be like, hey, you know, I didn't really care. Now I don't know why. It's a really interesting thing.
It's a crazy life you have. I mean, we don't ever talk about the trauma that comes with pursuing a passion and then quickly becoming recognizable and having to justify your identity and your reason for making art in front of a lot of people. I don't think we talk about that enough. I think we like sort of fold that into the idea of your dreams coming true.
Sure.
Don't complain.
Sure. But that's all I do is bitch, though. On all my songs.
But it's, I guess it's your outlet. But
sure,
what's so unique about this album is that I don't feel like there's a lot of complaining going on. I feel like there's a lot of self-awareness and self-reflection.
Sure.
I'm starting with a song like Don't Understand. You talked about self-confidence. I mean, that one is, I mean, you were pouring your heart and soul out into that song about the idea of somebody loving you can find a million reasons to love you and you can't think of one.
Right.
It's a heartbreaking lyric.
Right.
Where were you when you wrote that?
Here.
Do you remember?
Here.
What was going on?
I don't know. I don't remember. But I remember Andrew, because Andrew came in with the riff.
He's so good.
But he had like, so it was like this thing. It was that little riff. And then he went to something else, but I was just like, what if we let that?
Yeah.
Just yeah. Let that ring out there. And just let it go so you can really fill in that space almost like... like stop verse, you're like, you know, stop lyric. And I don't know, but that was a cool song. I think that was the first one that we did. In D.
Who were you listening to when you were a kid that you can hear on this record that you have perhaps haven't gone, you know, haven't acknowledged before, even through your subconscious filter of being a fan?
I really never talk about Radiohead and how fucking badass they are. Never, well, I talked about Stevie, but I love Fleetwood Mac. I don't know.
Radiohead thing is interesting though, man, because hearing you play High and Dry before, I was thinking about that song, You Kill Yourself to Get Attention. That lyric is so powerful because it talks about the disconnection between what's good for you versus what's good for everybody else.
And that's really, especially now, imagine that song, because that's like, literally TikTok. I watched a guy pour bleach on his face. He was like, you know what? We got 4,000 people watching. I'm going to do it right now. And I'm like, why are you kill yourself for recognition? I mean,
make a sandwich.
It's crazy.
Go and get that sandwich to someone who needs it.
That's not going
to
get the views, man. That's not going to get the, only the bleach is going to do it. Okay. He's like, and I'm going to hold my eyes open like this. And I was like, wow, okay. And I was like, you know what? He did it.
But
and
you know
I
what?
Saw it happen.
But the dudes with the bleach always existed. They just didn't have a phone in their hand.
And there's
right?
no platform.
I grew up with a few dudes with bleach. You know what I mean? Who did that? I
definitely. You know what? I'll do it.
Yeah.
But see, and now if it was just you and your buddy at the house and you're hanging out with like six people at a kickback, he's like, okay, if everyone watches, I'm going to do it. That's six people. But now he's like, okay, 4,000? All right, let's go. Now I'll do it. Now I'll do it.
Yeah.
Imagine what that bleach guy would do for 4,000 people.
Jesus Christ. I don't really want it.
Exactly. I don't know. It's crazy.
It's also a place where fans, I think, air their thoughts. And again, they can be destructive and mean. That's always existed. Mm-hmm. They can be concerned. Mm-hmm. There was a time there when you were on the road, I think people were genuinely concerned for your health. Yeah. Did they get to you?
Yes. I mean, first off, I shouldn't have to really justify anything to anyone, but I appreciate the concerns that people, but then it just goes like, it goes from like, hey, like, I hope he's fine, but then the rumor starts that I'm doing hard drugs, which I've never done in my entire life.
Right.
So it's like, oh.
Never?
Never. Wow. This is what crack looks like, kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when I was a kid, like, the pharmaceuticals. But I haven't touched that stuff in years and years and years. I had like one big scare when I was a kid, and I was just like, you know what, it's not worth
like,
it.
Like, bad?
I felt like it. Yeah. I didn't go to the hospital or anything, but yeah. I never want to feel like that ever, ever again. So I never, especially as a kid, you know, drinking lean and, you know, Xanax and all that shit. And, like, that's, I mean, that was a thing. And for me, it's not. And so
it's left a lasting impression, though, because there are definitely touchstones on this album that refer to it. You use them as metaphors in quite an interesting way. Chemical. Mm. I know the chemical reactions can come from lots of different things. It's not just through drugs and whatnot. The idea of being in an attractive relationship with someone and it feeling like a chemical reaction. I get that. But, you know, Nova Candy and even like things like, you know, my friends, they all take vitamins. Now, they could be healthy vitamins, but that could also be something else.
So, shrooms.
Yeah, right. And there's another interesting thing where you talk about violence after that. I just wondered a little bit about what your thoughts were on that lyrical idea, because we talked a little bit about hallucinogenics. In fact, you made your last album, or wrote a majority of your last album, during a mushroom trip. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Are you still using?
Yeah, I take shrooms.
Yeah.
I like shrooms. I like shrooms, not as much as I used to. Mm-hmm. It's really affected my short-term memory.
It's interesting. Isn't it supposed to promote?
Right, which is, it's but ever since, like, because I used to, maybe it was just a stint of habitual overuse, like daily.
Right.
But now I take a little bar of chocolate with my buddies, a little square of chocolate, and just laugh and laugh and laugh.
At some point, if I would like to, as I get older, try to see if it can promote that active growth. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, sir. And I think, you know, I was talking to a ranger buddy of mine. He was a ranger, and he was saying they're giving it to guys for like PTSD and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cool, because a lot of the times, you know, a lot of like pharmaceuticals, they have like negative reactions often.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see that they're giving them this, you know, this medicine, and it's actually like working. He was saying his buddy was like, you know, going through it, and it really helped him a lot. It's interesting because it's improved. It has improved my view on things. You know, making the last record, I was so. Well, writing it, I was so sad, you know? But now, I'm so happy. And it's definitely improved my viewpoint on life. So.
Yeah, I mean, but I feel like that all makes total sense. And you seem like in the best place you've ever been in, you know? And I just wonder whether the songs like Landmine and Enough is Enough, these really very open, honest reflections when alcohol turns on you.
Yes, sir.
And because if we drink it enough, it's going to turn on us.
Exactly.
And the next thing you know, to your point, and this is, I'm just quoting lyrics here badly, you know, you find yourself sitting on a sidewalk in Sin City talking to people who aren't there.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely happened. And it's not, writing that song was not about current experiences. Mm. It's not like, I can't go to Vegas.
Without doing the, that time has come and gone.
Well, without losing a shitload of money. So that's the problem there. I'm like, every time I go, I'm like, oh, I'm never going
again. Oh, I hate fucking gambling.
But then you start, over and you're like, you know what? I'm going to rob this place tonight. And then smoke your cigar, and then you go in hot shit.
Yeah.
And then you walk away four in the
morning. Posty on table seven. Posty on table seven.
And then you're like, you know what?
Keep it coming.
If I get 200 more.
Another drink, sir.
Another
drink.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah. How much is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's free?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just about past experiences. And
so why write it? If you're through it and you've got this life now with your partner. I don't know if you're married yet or not, but your partner and your daughter, and things are moving in the right direction. You seem really happy. Is this sort of is this a reminder? Is it a way to just kind of document that time and say, okay, I don't want to forget that I was there at one point in my life.
Well, it's cathartic.
Yeah,
it's super cathartic to be able to tell your story and then reach out to people who maybe have gone or are going through it, and at least bring like joy through music. You know, like you said, it's like, oh, that's why music is here. So if we get in a fight on the street, I'm like, you know what? I'm having a great day. Just little supplements of joy. It's so cool to live watching people and singing these songs with the people in the crowd. And it's like all the shit of the outside just goes away. And it's just a dome of like joy and just like being excited to celebrate life. I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Dude, you blow me away, man, as a person. Every time I talk to you, I'm always struck by how generous you are. Thanks. With your energy.
Thank you, Zane.
And how so much of your journey in the public eye has been trying to reassert through your talent why you belong whilst other people search for reasons why you don't.
Sure.
And yet you still show up and give people your time and you still give people a generous experience.
Sure. Life's too short to be a dickhead. I mean,
there's that one
I think
time,
that's the Bible verse.
I don't know if anyone saw it, right? There was this kid who was just shooting a shot. And he decided it amongst of like, there's 50 or 100 people sitting or standing around posting, signing autographs and being generous and compassionate with people. And this kid just shoots his shot. He's just like, you suck. He's being that guy.
Oh, no. That was when he was like, tell my friend he has no Riz. And I didn't know what Riz was.
Right.
And I didn't want to say anything bad.
Yeah.
I was like, what's Riz? He goes, you're a bitch. I know exactly what you're talking about.
He was shooting
his
shot.
Because it drives me nuts every day.
He was shooting his fucking shot, right? Again, we all know this kid, right? We've all had that friend who's like, I'm going to be the one guy who's going to just like say that shit and you, I'll be a legend. And your reaction was like, you just were so brilliant. You were like, that's not very nice. And this kid was like
12 years old. I give you, you're a bitch. Yeah. I give you, no way.
That's what I mean.
You're a bitch and you have no Riz.
But dude, you're in a very ego-driven world. Nah. There could have been some people who, and this is bad advice, would have just launched across at this kid and tried to teach him a lesson, right?
He was a big 12-year-old. He was definitely power forward for the basketball team.
But I just love the fact that, you know, you really, it was like, that's when I was like, oh, Posty's a parent now.
Sure, yeah, man. I can't go around beating up people's kids. But I don't
shot.
Know. Yeah,
well,
that was before I was like, I don't know what Riz was. And people try to give me say all kinds of crazy shit. And I'm like, I don't know what it is. He's like, you're a bitch. And I'm like, oh, damn. I was at the Arc'teryx store. I just wanted a jacket.
I just wanted to get a jacket and face.
You can't even go to the Arc'teryx store without being called a bitch.
You're a good dude, man. And I think the world is waking up to that now. And I think albums like this, which are a counterpoint to this generosity that you give people, which are, I'm also this very human person who's going through shit.
Sure.
Holding My Breath.
Hold My Breath.
Hold My Breath.
Yes, sir.
I think it's actually my favorite song on the record.
Thank you
right now.
Thank you very much.
That lyric about you're holding something essential to me. It made me feel like you were talking to your partner about your child. That's how it made me feel. Like
sure.
It was something like, it's the most open, it's one of the most open songs about a relationship and the need for, and the very complex need
sure.
for being in a relationship.
Yes, sir.
Can you just talk a little about that song from your perspective?
Sure. Writing that, I did the riff, and please don't ask me to play it because I need to brush up. It was something. But I don't even remember. But then it's like the...
Yeah, it's a waltz.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like a ballad to the ballad, you know, of the ballads of old. But yeah. I don't know, it was cool. I had that little lick at the beginning and we all sat down and we're trying to, you know, figure out how that's gonna fit into, you know, a chord progression or anything like that. And we kind of gave up to go work on something else. And so whenever, you know, Lou or Andrew goes in there to do like production and mixing stuff, I'm just like, hey, can you guys just leave the mic on and with the reverb and shit? So I decided I wanted it to be open time. So there's like no click. And especially in the beginning, it's that also very much of that lick. And then it comes in randomly,
yeah.
And then during the verse it stops, so
yeah, it tumbles.
There's no metronome on
it's
that
a tumbling
song.
Arrangement
for Lewis, sure. That was a fucking nightmare. But I was like, you know, this is the way we got
it. Hey, how they used to do it. How they used to do it.
But then not only that, you got to kind of like freak the, and then.
By the way, not being disrespectful to Lewis, who's a genius.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. No, but that's for Lou, because Lou's like, you know, Lou's very like meticulous about every detail of the song.
Yeah.
So when I was like, Lou, there's going to be no click.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it however the hell I want. Beautiful. And then please deal with me and work around that. But yeah, writing that, and I don't know, in that session where I was just sitting there and I was like, you know what, I'm going to do open time. I just about wrote the whole thing. And I don't know, it was very, like you said, you know, it's a conduit and it just goes and went. And the lyrics just felt super right. And whenever I sang it, it was like, you're holding on to something special to me. It's essential to me. And that could, like, the way you interpreted it was about the baby. But I was just talking about my heart. But you can interpret it anyway. You could say she's got the keys to your car or something.
Or the keys to, or the keys to your heart.
Yeah, exactly. Or anything, you know? It could, and that's what's cool about a song like that is it could really be about however you want it to be, and that's the joy of music, you know.
You know, I acknowledge and respect the privacy that you've really carefully built around this family that you're building. I think it's amazing, and I think everybody deserves that right to do that.
Sure.
So the only question I want to ask you in relation to the dynamic that you're building for your future is this idea of laying down roots, of building something, because marriage and family is like, day one is like beautiful, and but it's about day 100,000. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's like it is a journey all the way to the end.
Yes, sir.
And it's only really, its only true value is acknowledged at the end of time. And it could be the end of that relationship or the end of the whole thing.
Or just when the aliens come.
Or when the aliens come.
Yeah, sure.
But the point being is it requires an enormous amount of work, right?
Sure.
It's not, it doesn't serve the same purpose as something vacuous or quick or lustful or this or that.
Sure.
And it requires a lot of self-work. How is that transition from Post Malone, the rock star, literally, to Post Malone, the family man, being, how is it for you? Is it a roller coaster? How are you finding it?
I really love hanging out with my baby, hanging out with the lady, playing video games, and in my garage working on projects. Like, that's like what I love to do. And so it hasn't been that hard, but there's times to where you have, that it's that one drink that sets you over. So you're like, you know what, I'm going to rage for like 2 days. But the difference is I don't rage like in social settings. It's usually me and a buddy, and we just stay up super late until the sunrise, and we're just drinking and sitting out on the car and just hanging out, listening to music.
We're removing the social aspect.
Removing the social aspect of it. And it's not like, it's not full rage, but it's just like, and I think at those moments, I'm like, you know what? I used to go nuts. And this is like significantly better. You know, I'm not running around town, and I'm not, like, there used to be a time, especially at the beginning of our relationship, that I would just like disappear. Yeah, and just go for a week. And like, I was like, oh man, that's so shitty. I'm such a turd. But now I don't. It's been surprisingly easy because this is the stuff that I've always wanted to do. Like, I'm a homebody. I never want to leave my house. I never want to leave the property. And I just want to play games and watch TV and hang with the family. So it's been super easy. There's those nights that really go like, you know what? I'm going to party tonight. And then, but I don't leave the house.
Yeah, but it's to your point, it's within the framework of having something more precious than that to go back to.
Exactly.
Whereas I think if you didn't, the other way is to leave the house and maybe not even come back.
Yeah. And then, like, I misspoke earlier when I said, like, rage for 2 days.
Yeah.
It'll just be like 9 to 9 a.m.
Who am I to judge? I've done one of those with you.
Yeah.
It was the last time I did one. And it may be the last time I do one. You may have broken that for me. But my whole thing was like, if your dad can keep up, then I can keep up. And then I realized that your dad is going to keep up beyond all of us.
My dad will just, he'll be like, oh, you guys, come on, man. Come on.
Your dad's a ruler. I still got his number on my phone.
Yes, sir.
How is he feeling about the man that you're becoming? It's an honest question because we spoke openly about that off the record in France. I'll never repeat any of the conversations we had, but we talked about your growth at the time. You weren't even at the table. We were just chopping it up, and he felt comfortable to talk to me. And it was beautiful hearing from father to father how he felt about you. And even some of the challenges ahead that he sort of had your back and was one eye on you from a distance was the vibe I always got. Have you always felt that
way?
Yeah,
very much so. He's always been amazing. He's doing great. He's a little more crotchety, but he's getting old. Love you, Dad. But he's always been such a big inspiration and support beam. I don't know. Support.
Yeah.
Lifeline. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something that supports something. An I-beam or like a truss or something. I don't know.
Keep going.
I don't know anything. but he's always been there to have my back. So.
Is he your sort of fallback when you need to talk to somebody, when you need some perspective?
Yeah, more or less, more or less. I think he's, the hard part for me is like, I have a hard time talking to people about shit, and that's why like music is so cathartic and so special, is because I don't really talk to it, but he's always like, hey, if you need to talk to me, I'm right here. And that's always been the most amazing thing. And even when I was up in my room as a kid, with my headphones in and just like, you know how like weird it is or awkward it is to, maybe not awkward, annoying for your parents to hear like an 11-year-old kid just like try to be James Hetfield in his room with his headphones in so he can't hear shit and he doesn't know how loud he is.
Yeah.
And he was always like, you know what? Yeah, that's all right. Yep.
Where's the art workshop?
That's Andrew's house.
That's Andrew's house?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Why did you choose such a candid photo like that? What did you like about it?
I thought I looked real cute.
It's okay. You look cute.
No. Andrew's house is really cool. It's like a very, I think, someone in relation to Charlie Chaplin was there. It might have been like an old screening room where they would like invite people in. So there's like a basement. Studio's downstairs, and then you go out back, and there's this big pool and a nice big yard. And I remember we worked all night, and it was like 11 a.m. When we stopped. And everybody had left, and I wanted to stay and keep like writing and jamming some stuff. And so we go upstairs, and I'm like, it is hot and bright, and it is time for me to retire for the morning. And one of Andy's like studio manager guys, he came up and we were just hanging and had some brews, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna get in a pool. And then we said, let's take a picture. That's what we used.
No, it's awesome. He snapped it and he got a moment. It's one of those moments of like you say, in that tiny little space in between awake and needing to switch off.
Oh, yes, sir.
I want to talk about one of the best songs I think you've ever written, which is Green Thumb.
Thank you. That's very sweet. Thank you very much.
Do you agree? Are you proud of that song?
I really like it. I really like it.
I mean, the story is heartbreaking and incredible. The idea of talking about somebody moving on and leaving behind a garden that ultimately represents the death of a memory or a time that you knew, and then like fast forwarding to the end of your time is great writing.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think it's the only like breakup song where you talk to plants. So that's novel.
Sure, there's others. I'm sure there's a lot about roses.
Song.
There's a lot about roses. Where does your green garden grow? Isn't that one? I'm sure. I don't know. I'm not trying to bust your chops.
The only one I know, okay?
It's the best one.
Thank you very much.
It's the newest and the best.
Thank you very much. No, but they're not actually talking to plants.
Maybe not talking to plants.
Okay. That's what.
And I love that idea of the what does the plant say in the first verse before?
Oh, he was dying.
Yeah.
And then he said,
tell her that.
Yeah, wait, she's not coming
home. She's not coming home.
Yeah.
And then that's what the nurse says to you
yeah.
at the end of your life.
Because you died.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't done that yet.
But beautifully depressing.
Thank you very much.
Which all great, a lot of great songs are.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to let it go just yet, just because I do think it's a high point for you as a writer. What was going on when you wrote that? Like, what was the environment like? Again, is that just your subconscious at play? Same, it's an interesting concept.
Same thing. I remember, like, sitting, because me and Andrew wrote the chord, so. It's hard.
It is.
And then we go to the A. I was like, fuck it, let's make it weird.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's a great change though. It's almost a classic California arrangement. Mm-hmm.
It's very, it's I don't know,
a flower power-esque.
Yeah, a lot of the flowers are plants.
There you go.
Exactly.
So there that's, you go. That's
I don't know. Yeah, I a lot of the stuff, chord-wise at least, like that was it's a super Beatles walk down that
it
A
is.
To the A7 to the, or to the A, whatever this is.
And then there's that the A7. Wow, which is quite Zeppelin-y.
Yeah, I don't know. That was it was a lot of fun to make. And yeah, we just kind of sat and he came with that little doo, doo, doo. And then I was like, okay, we'll go to C, then we'll go to D. Mm. And then the verse completely changed. I was like, that A is so sick. Like, that's what I was talking about chords earlier. I was like, I want to do, like, if you're sitting there writing the melody to the song and writing the music to the song, you can go to a different place and be like, and like be like, oh, okay, that's kind of, that's trippy.
No,
that's
but you can. That's what's cool about this album is that you've brought the chords and the arrangements together on this that, It's uniquely you. Like, there are just changes that you make, chord changes and progressions that others I don't think would do. I wonder how it's going to relate to dancing post-the and rock star post-the. And, you know, there's so many versions of you now. And this album to me is like, are you going to play it with a band? How are you going to do this?
Yeah, so we're taking a band on tour.
First time.
Yep.
Wow.
First time. I think every record is super self-contained. You get a little bit of everything, some more than others, but you get a little bit of everything. And it's gonna be so much fun. This is my first time with a band, so being able to experiment with them and see what new arrangements we can do with the music and cool transitions, like we have a string section, and we were talking about doing like Zach and Codeine. Like, you remember that song from Beer Bongs? And doing zoot, doot, 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 which would be fucking sick, but I don't know.
And with big BVs, because I mean, something real needs the big BVs.
Well, that's what the background, that's a tougher deal. Because they say I'm a little too ambitious.
Isn't that what success
affords you? Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't want to get in Dre's business, but isn't that what success is supposed to allow you to be ambitious?
It's walk hard, and he's like,
let's walk hard, your Dewey Cox.
I need a fucking art 50,000 didgeridoos. And that's what I sound like.
I mean, hardly. You're asking for four exceptionally good singers.
I was not asking for four. I was asking for an entire choir.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they're like, well, logistically. And I'm like, why you guys got to shit on me, man? 50,000 didgeridoos. Make it sound like Velvet Pancakes. That's the best movie of all time.
I mean, but. Yeah, it's a good film. But you've made an album that to me is like, it needs to be brought to life in the most grandiose way possible.
Have you ever watched, I think it was Beck, did a David Bowie cover in the round with like 500 musicians. It was like so, don't quote me on the number, but it was so sick. Like, he was standing in the middle and there were so many musicians and like redundancy and just stacking and like real like old school style. You have the like a dome place and people just playing at the same time, making it louder. And we're planning to do a playthrough, not as cool as that, not anywhere near as good as that, but something similar to that. So I'm excited to bring that vision.
He's a great reference for you as well, because I think about the multiple Becks. And he's the guy who would come out there and do Odelay and do the robot and then put an acoustic guitar on and sing Nobody's Fault.
Well, and that's, I don't know. There's
In one show.
There's no need to really contain yourself to anything. You make what feels right in the moment. And if you want to dance, you want to dance. If you want to play a guitar, you want to play a guitar. I don't know. And that's what's cool. I think you can go to a posty show and I sound like balls or whatever, but
you never
at
sound
least
bad.
It's entertaining. At least it's something to watch.
You never
least.
Sound bad.
That's what I can say about my shows.
You
it's
never
something
sound
to watch.
Bad. That's one thing that no one can deny. And even your detractors in the past that perhaps weren't quite sure who you were, what you were trying to achieve with your life, so they had to comment on it. No one can fuck with your vocals, bro.
Thank you, sir.
Who was it that told me? I don't want to say because it'll really compromise them. But somebody said to me, who's worked with a few people, who's the best singer you've worked with? And they said you.
Well, that's very sweet.
In terms of like just on it every time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Lou?
No. Try again. Got one more shot. It's the other guy.
What do you mean the other one?
Well, it's either Lou or it's...
Oh, Andrew?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What the hell? Okay, yeah. But, I mean, but Andrew, yeah, that's so sweet. That's so sweet.
Yeah, Mr. Black.
Dr. Watt.
Exactly.
Dude, I don't know. It was so much fun, and that's very sweet of him to say. And it's just, it's auto-tune. I'm a professional auto-tune manipulator, which is fine.
You use it well.
Which is fine. Thank you very much.
I don't hear a huge amount of it on this record, though, so it must be very subtle.
Yeah, it's, Melodyne is... godlike as well. So
how's business? How's everything else going?
Great. Everything is
still got your wine?
Yes, sir.
Going well?
Yes, sir. Going well.
Is that something that you feel at this point that you've got enough on your plate? Because I know that you only choose to collaborate with businesses and things that you're passionate about. I know you wear Crocs.
Yes, sir.
What's your sort of attitude on that going forward? Because when you're successful, people can put everything on the table for you. But I mean, you've got to leave enough time, especially now as your parent and as an artist, mm-hmm. to focus on the music.
Well, yeah, that's a hard thing too, is not only being a parent, being a musician, a touring musician, especially, and doing brand deals and doing the wine and doing all that stuff and doing like photo shoots and stuff like that. It's tough. I'm getting a real kick in the ass. Because I wake up every day with the baby and hang out with her, because her mom and her, they wake up really early.
Like, yeah, they'll do that.
Yeah. And so I'll come in after
sleep
working.
Sleep is not an option
I'll
for a
I'll come
while,
in
bro.
Working all night, or yeah. from working all night, and then they'll come and wake me up. We'll play for like 30 minutes, and then I'll go back to bed. Mm. And then I wake up, and I'm like, oh, that was too short. I felt like you can't go back to sleep. You cannot go back to sleep. That's the worst idea.
Yeah.
But I do it every time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just the schedule keeps getting... I find the more that, you know, the world kind of opens back up and everybody's going on tour and everybody's doing stuff, which makes a lot of sense, but the schedule just keeps getting fuller. And now that I'm a dad, the schedule only got more full. And now that, you know, releasing new music, schedule gets fuller and fuller and fuller, but the one thing that's constant is the amount of time in a day. And then the amount of time before we go on tour again, or the amount of time before, you know.
And that affects you differently now.
Oh, very much so. I'm definitely more tired, which I was always tired before. But now I'm more tired. But.
It's true. When you become a parent, you didn't even think it was possible to get more tired. But
you're like, no shit.
There is more in the tiredness bank than you thought was actually possible.
Yeah, very much.
As we're sort of coming to the end of this chat, man, I wanted to talk about a little bit about what the future feels like, because it's always felt a little bit premature to do so, because you've been building.
Sir.
You know, Stony, Beer Bongs.
Sir.
You know, everything's been building up to these great moments. And being in the moment's important, but obviously now, like I said, you know, you're searching for a big plot of land to be able to ultimately disappear to.
Enjoy
the fruits. To do that, you're going to have to take some control of that schedule, right?
Yes, sir. I have to put a baby through college. So please come to my concerts. Please purchase my records.
You don't have enough money at this point for a college fund?
No. She's going to space college.
Right, okay. Yeah. That's very different.
Yeah, that's very expensive.
Oh, shit. But, not far off the mark, probably, in the future.
But here's the whole deal. I don't know.
Do you worry about the future? Do you think about it at all? Clearly, if you're buying big plots of land.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, and in different aspects. I think about, like, I want her to be able... People ask what, like, success is, and success is being able to do what you want to do and not have to worry about not being able to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If my baby wants to be an artist, right? I don't want her to be scared to be... I always bust her balls about it because there's a tradition to where it's a Korean tradition where she goes, you put a bunch of stuff in front of her and she picks what she wants to be at a year old and picks what she's gonna do in life. And she picked an artist, like one of those like Michaels plastic, I wanna say, what is this thing called? Palette?
Like an easel?
It's not like a palette, but it was like one of the long ones that you had when you were a kid. And I was like, oh, you're never going to make any money.
But, yeah, that was your initial reaction.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
This from a guy like, who dropped out of college, moved to LA, and somehow became one of the biggest artists on the planet.
I was like, God damn.
Isn't that kind of mad?
And then I put her back and tried to make her pick again. I was like, don't you want to make any of these?
But isn't that crazy now? Even though you literally did just that. You turn the impossible into tangible.
Yes, sir.
That when faced with the prospect of what the future for something you hold dearer than yourself.
Because
For the first time in your life, right, you love something more than yourself.
Well, that's now I get where my parents were coming from. They're like, hey, you don't really want to do that. But like I said, I always bust your balls, but success and what I want to do is I want her to be able to not be scared to say, you know what, I want to make a painting of my own poop. Like, who did the poop painting? Someone.
I'm sure.
But I was like, well, you know, maybe someone's gonna want to buy it. Probably not. But I want you to do that. And so...
Isn't it just about them being happy?
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
I think that's pretty simple.
But it's
and complicated.
Exactly. Well, that's the whole thing. And I don't want her to be scared to do what she wants to do in her life. And
just like
I want to, I guess, incubate a creative and free lifestyle where she doesn't have to worry about that. You know what I mean? So I want to bust my ass while I still can. My knees are going out on me. I'm 27. I talk like I'm like Zane Lowe's age. If you guys know, he's getting
wow.
there.
Don't you think though, while we're in Parents Corner, don't you think that more than the money and the means, they just...
By the way, that's a whole new thing for you, Parents Corner.
I think it's been done, and I don't know if I'm the one. I'm doing my best, but I don't know if I'm the one. Don't you think more than the money and the means though, they just want to look in your eyes when they do it and know that you believe in them?
Well, that's not a... Well, I like to believe that's not a problem. And I was raised in a family, like I said, I bust her balls all the time. I'm like, oh, you're never going to make any money. That's
sure.
shit. You're going to be living with me forever.
Sure,
and she
sure.
doesn't even, you know, she doesn't talk. But
she's listening.
But I mean, that's the whole deal. I come from a family where it's just like we talk shit and just have fun. And and that's like, I don't know, that's how we bond. You know what I mean? It's so bitching because I look at her and I'm like, oh, you can't do anything wrong. And that's the cool thing about being a dad. It's like, there's nothing you could do that could not make me love you. And I hope it's the same for her. And that's the hard part about being on tour is like, I miss the fuck out of that baby, you know? But if you watch this, I'm doing the hard work so you can make paintings of, with your shit.
As good an objective as any. What a fucking crazy ride, dude. I look over, as I reach my old age, I think about the amount of conversations I've had with people who I love.
Yes, sir.
And I've fallen in love through the art.
Yes, sir.
And then I have the fortunate opportunity to meet people, and then I fall in love with the people. And then I watched it all happen. Like we all do. Your journey is one of the most interesting. You know, coming from where you came from, striving for identity, trying to figure out who you were,
with the voice no one could deny, but the identity wasn't formed.
Sure.
To get into this place now where that guitar is right next to you and the songs are the best you've ever written.
Thank you, sir. If I could only remember the chords.
Well, you better hurry up.
No shit.
Because you've got a band on tour, yeah, bro. No, you know shit. What those guys rolling their eyes behind your
well,
back?
Hey, you know what? They can tell me exactly what it is, but they always use too many. They put too many numbers in their chords, and I'm like, I don't really. Yeah, it's too many numbers. Yeah. So what do I do?
Your female drummer's going to be like, yo, bro, get on fucking beat, bro.
Give me tabs,
get on fucking beat,
tabs.
Bro. Damn, you're not paying me enough for this shit.
Trust me, I know, dude. I'm so scared. I'm like, because these guys are like all top of the class.
Yeah, man.
And I'm just like, hey.
Well, that's why you hire him.
Me auto-tune.
That's why you hire him. But I am going to say this one time, man, sure. And it's I don't want it to come across as being overly intrusive into what we've been discussing, but dude, you're not just an auto-tune dude. Like, you can't auto-tune soul. You can make a note sound better, and you can make something modern feel ready, but you can't put soul through an auto tune and improve and try to alter the intention.
Sir.
The feeling is all you.
Sir.
And so that's all I want to say about this record is I didn't come for the beats and I didn't come for the auto tune. I came for the feeling.
Sir.
And that's what's across it.
Sir. Yeah. Thank you. Zayma, I love you. Thank you, Baba. You're the fucking best.
Save big money at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. We have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Get free estimates fast using our easy do-it-yourself landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape products at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit JDPower.com for details and Menards.com for deals. Save big money at Menards. Never get locked out from lost keys again. Menards carries a huge selection of electronic lock sets. Get a TrueBolt touchscreen deadbolt that features one-touch locking and 50 programmable user codes. Available in matte black or satin nickel finishes on sale now through September 8th at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit JDPower.com for details and Menards.com for deals. Save big money.